Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 59, Social Media Strategies for Skyrocketing Sales, with our special guest, CJ Copeland.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
Free Market Squad and the place to be. Thank you for taking an hour out of your day to hang with me. And today, our very special guest, CJ Copeland. This is going to be a weird one for me because it's way outside of my comfort zone. We're going to be talking about makeup, and I know nothing about makeup. I do podcasts because I'm not pretty. Today's guest is actually a family member of mine. It's my cousin, CJ Copeland, and she works for a company called Unique. Actually, she kind of works for herself, but that's kind of what is actually unique about this episode is we're going to be talking about how to run a business when you're not selling your own product, when you're selling somebody else's product, but you still are your own boss. And one of the things that we're really going to get into is how CJ uses social media to run her sales. A lot of times on this show, we focus on what to do with your website and how to email market. Those are the two things that I really focus on is website marketing automation and email marketing. And CJ, not so much, actually. She's kind of dominated the social media atmosphere. So she uses Facebook. In this episode, you're going to learn how she uses Facebook. You're going to learn about Facebook events. You're going to learn about Facebook live videos, some hacks and tweaks that you can use, or some ninja tactics that you can use. Everybody loves the ninja tactics that CJ's been using to help drive sales. Facebook groups. It's all about Facebook this week and how she's able to use the free tools on Facebook to basically do all of the stuff that I've been paying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year for. I'm paying for webinar service. I'm paying for email marketing. I've paid to host forums in the past. And CJ's accomplishing all of the stuff that I've been able to do in my marketing with all of these paid tools. She's doing it all with Facebook, and she's going to let you guys know how you can do the same thing. So if you're interested in how to start a business up, if you don't have your own product and you still want to be out there making sales, and if you're interested in how to use Facebook to basically accomplish everything that standard marketers are out there trying to get done with these super expensive tools, but having a free tool that pretty much everybody's already on, which is Facebook, CJ is definitely the master at it. You have got to stay tuned for this interview. So we're going to jump right into it with my guest this week, CJ Copeland. All right, Free Market Squad, welcome back to another exciting episode of Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. Today, this is going to be a little bit weird for me. I'm going to be interviewing my cousin, who is an inspiration to me, actually. And her name is Connie Copeland, and Connie is on the line with us all the way from down under in Australia. Connie, how are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me. You said before the call that you're a little bit nervous. I'm a little bit nervous as well. I don't know why. I usually am not nervous interviewing people, but maybe it's because we're family. That might be it. I don't know. So we'll just have to lean on each other throughout the show.
Yep. All right. That sounds good. Yeah, you introduced me as Connie, but everybody online in the social media world will know me as CJ. Nobody calls me Connie except for you, maybe.
You know, I've seen CJ so many times, and I probably should know that by now, but I guess because we grew up and Connie was who I always... From now on, it's CJ Copeland. CJ, thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure.
All right. So for the listeners that don't know, which is pretty much all of them, your mom actually is the one who lit the fire under my ass to start taking business serious. I was always kind of like a wantrepreneur or a side hustle type guy. And your mom she made me read The E-Myth a couple years back, and it was right when I was launching Podcast Blast Off, and that book like totally changed the way I was approaching business, and I can't thank your mom enough for that. And then she told me, you need to check out what CJ's doing. She's got her own business going as well. I've been following you on Facebook for quite a while, and I'm thoroughly impressed with everything that you're doing. So I wanted to get you on and let my listeners know about who you are, what it is that you do, and we'll just kind of take it from there. But before we jump into it, is there anything that I'm missing as far as the introduction goes that you'd like the listeners to know about?
I think, you know, you guys can find me online, and I'm in several different places, Instagram, Facebook, I have a personal group and the personal page as well.
We'll just start with what your business is. You sell for a company called Unique, and you're constantly doing videos on Facebook. You run your own Facebook groups. And if we can, just kind of like, I guess the best place to start out is before we get into what Unique is and how you sell their products or how you've been able to build your own business off of it, I'd like to kind of start with the fact that you live down under. You live down in Australia. And maybe since you grew up here in the States and spent most of your life here and now you've moved over to there, I'd like to kind of get your feelings on how the business and the entrepreneurial lifestyle differs between the two environments.
Yes. So Nathan, I am a small town Colorado girl and ended up moving to Australia 5 years ago, a little over 5 years ago, when my now husband and I met 6 years ago. And then we found out we were pregnant with our first. And so it was time to make a move. And so here I am. We are both entrepreneurial minded, and we've got a plan going for something for my husband to move away from his current career with, but it's just a matter of getting all the moving pieces into place. But I've always had little side businesses and things that I've done in Colorado, and so I actually had someone say to me once after I moved to Australia, well, doesn't everybody in America think they can just start their own business? And I thought, wow, that's really enlightening to hear, because yeah, everybody in America does think they can start their own business if you ask me. But in Australia, it's very, very different. Certainly there are a lot of people who do start their own businesses and are very successful. And of course you have your failures as well, or your learning experiences, however you want to look at it. But it's definitely more a government dependent society here. The taxes are high. The government benefits are high, quote unquote, but, yeah, just, it's definitely a different type of culture. People don't necessarily subscribe to the American dream, which is fine because they're obviously not American, even though they follow American media, American celebrities, American businesses are huge here as far as products go. And so it's really interesting to see this dichotomy of the two countries and how Australia doesn't want to take everything on board that is American, but they end up doing it anyway. And Lucas, my husband, lived in the Chicago area for about 5 years, and he just was bitten by the bug, and he really wants to work for himself as well. And that is what sort of perpetuated me into this mompreneurship, if you will. After my kids were born, I started this journey with Unique, which is a makeup company, direct sales, and we do everything online. So when the opportunity came, I sort of took it, but I was very hesitant about taking it. I bought the kit and I thought, oh, well, you know, if it's just a good value of a lot of makeup and I don't actually have to do anything after the fact because we don't have any ongoing fees and there's no sort of, you know, you have to carry this much inventory. Everything is done through our warehouses across the globe. And it's a very, very easy business to do. But because direct sales companies, network marketing companies have such a bad reputation, I was still very hesitant. And I didn't actually tell Lucas that I had bought the kit until maybe 2 weeks after it arrived. I'm one of those people where I do first and tell later. And he was surprisingly really, really supportive. He went, go for it. If that can, you know, pay our rent or, you know, cover a mortgage or pay the startup for a different business, or you just really want to do it and you like it, then go for it. And so having not known him for a very long time before we got married, you know, we're still getting to know each other in a lot of regard. And, I was really surprised at that. But, as time's gone on, he's proved himself to me in that manner.
Nice.
So we support each other, and this, you know, mompreneurship, if you will, is a very unique and challenging game at times, certainly.
It's good, and I think that it's understated the importance of having a partner that supports your decision, because having a spouse or a partner that's not in line or not on the same page as you can be like fighting an uphill battle when you're trying to start your own business.
Without a doubt. You know, it's not a secret, but I don't really broadcast it, but I was married once before, and that relationship did not work out because my husband at the time was not supportive of my entrepreneurial dreams, if you will. I started a little boutique with Western wear for women and, you know, costume jewelry, and it was really quite successful. And I would go around to different rodeos and barrel races in Colorado, and it was growing massively. And I started a website, and it was, you know, going really well. And then my marriage ended up dissolving, and it was just, it was very clear that he was never going to be supportive of that. And I think one line that I heard toward the end there was, well, you have champagne dreams on a beer budget. And I said, you know what? I've got champagne dreams, and I'm going to make that champagne budget. So watch me go.
Well, it's good. And it's definitely, I'm glad that you're in a situation now where your husband is supportive, because I just know that's so important. And I think that for the listeners out there, I think that that's one of the things that you should definitely be clear about. If you're in a relationship, you should definitely let the other person know that it's important to you to strive for financial independence and career independence, and it's something that you should look for in a partner, that they're going to support that. So you lucked out, and I'm glad about that. You mentioned being a mompreneur. How, you said it was a little bit crazy. What is some of the day-to-day struggles of trying to manage a family and a business at the same time?
Oh gosh. Well, you've mentioned that I, you know, have this big online presence, and there's this really fine line that as a mother, you walk, because you want to protect your kids from the worries of social media, if you will. And you also want to go forth and do as much as you possibly can with your business. And so outside of the, you know, morning breakfast and school run and getting the kids dressed and taking them to gymnastics and dance classes and, you know, volunteering at the school and making sure that dinner's on the table at the end of the day, because, you know, technically I'm a stay-at-home mother, even though, you know, I have this business that I'm running as well. So I try to fit my business in around my family life. And luckily, as we've mentioned before, my husband's very supportive. And so, you know, when I do need to take some time out and go, okay, you need to mind the kids while I do A, B, and C, or I'm going to go do this girl's makeup over here for this photo shoot, or I'm going to Sydney in a couple of weeks for two nights because I've got a training on, you know, he doesn't hesitate to help me out with that, which is huge. I mean, I think as a single mom, it would be really crazy. I probably would not sleep ever because I would be working all night long. But yeah, it's something that I feel is really important. I said to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, I feel really guilty at times because I spend a lot of time on my business and my kids see me on Facebook all the time. But they're also part of my videos and they're part of the live sessions that I do. And my daughter loves to help me with the makeup, and my son loves to say hello to everyone. And I found that my audience really enjoys that. They see that I'm a real person. They see that I do have to do the school run. And so when I'm telling women, this is how you can do a 5-minute makeup face and get out the door and get your kids to school on time or to the bus or whatever you need to get done, or you need to drop them off at daycare before you go to your job, that's what I want to help you do. I want to help women feel confident, and, I think that goes full circle back to my daughter and helping her realize that she can do anything, you know, anything that her heart desires, and she puts enough dedication into it, then that's wonderful. And I want to be a positive role model for her and for other women as well.
Nice. And I think that one of the guys in my mastermind group, he runs a fitness business, And one of the things that he's started doing is not shying away from the fact that he is a dad and he does have a family. And he shows that he can be a family man, he can be a businessman, and he can live a healthy lifestyle all at the same time. And he includes the fact that he has a family in his marketing now. And it's gone leaps and bounds as far as making him and his story more relatable with the people that are looking into purchasing his services. And I think that by doing that, like you said, you have to walk that thin line of protecting them from some of the scarier sides of social media and the internet in general. But at the same time, it does go miles as far as connection and the ability to relate to the person that you're hopefully going to be making a buying decision with.
Without a doubt.
So a question that I had, and this was one of the questions that I was a little bit hesitant to ask you, but you said that it was okay. So I'm just going to go full board with it. Taxation. I am a huge anti-tax guy. I don't like taxes. I think that I have moral objections to taxation. And one of the things that really bothers me about taxation, especially now because the internet has opened up the ability to do business all over the world, is it's so confusing nowadays. And one of the things, and maybe you can set this straight, you're not a lawyer, so I'm not going to expect a legal opinion from you, but I've heard that when you leave the United States, they still want to tax you even if you're paying taxes in your new place of residence. Is that, have you experienced anything like that?
Yes, absolutely. So I am required by law to file my taxes in both countries every year. Oh. And if I don't file taxes, obviously in the United States, they can come after me, audit me, later on in life. But I honestly do not have time for that. And I have, worked it out where I have my two dependents and, I've worked it out to where the taxes I pay in Australia, help balance out the taxes I have to pay to America, if you will. But it's definitely a funny system. And I'm part of a group on Facebook called Yanks Down Under, and we all support each other. And we talk about, what it's like back home and missing our families and things like that. But we also talk about really important subjects like taxation. And we also are required as expats to report to the United States government any savings that we have or any bank accounts that we have that have over $10,000 in them in foreign countries. And then we will be required to pay taxes on those bank accounts. And wow. So that's also a funny little hiccup to get around. And there's a few groups that are working really hard to change the policy on that. But we all know that the U.S. government is quite greedy, and and we'll see if that actually changes. But I think, if you're savvy and you work your business properly, then you shouldn't feel the sting of that. But it's interesting to see people who come from America to Australia and they have absolutely no idea that they have to file their taxes. And then they're going back, 7 years trying to sort out their income from then. And it's really funny because Australian taxes are figured at the end of June 30 instead of December 31st. So that makes it a little bit funny as well. But I am with you in that boat. I absolutely think taxes are theft, and I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of large government whatsoever. And it's only been further enforced in my values since moving to another country, especially like I mentioned before, this is a heavily government dependent country. And I just, learned to zip my lip and not talk politics with anyone in Australia, because 9 times out of 10, it's not going to go very well. And I'd rather win friends and influence people than not.
Yeah, I understand. How about something that we've had to run into with our business is the VAT tax in England. And I don't know what Australia's official relationship with England is, but is that something that you've had to worry about?
No, not at all. Australia is part of the Commonwealth, but we are seen as an independent country. Basically, the monarchy, she's still the queen, if you will, but she doesn't have any sort of power over Australia. Australia has its own parliament, and they govern themselves. So.
Now that whole thing of still having queens in the world is just so silly to me.
It is, absolutely. Sometimes I wonder, does she lay her head on her pillow at night and go, this is ridiculous?
Probably. Or when she's sitting on the in the bathroom and she's like, you know, I'm just a person like everybody else and worshipped for some reason. It's crazy. So let's kind of change direction a little bit and let's talk about Unique. You mentioned that you sell this product and you had actually looked into it and purchased something from them and went a whole 2 weeks before you told your husband about it. What was it that appealed to you about Unique, and how was it that you kind of got into, first of all, I guess, introduced to their business and then decided that you wanted to make it your business?
Yeah, so I attended an online party, which is exactly how our business is run. We host online events, and they run for, 3 to 5 to 10 days was the old system. But now I usually do my events over the course of a few days with one day where I really, focus in on the products and talk, engaging with the audience that are part of that event. But so I attended this online event. I bought the mascara. It was the very first mascara that they had. I mean, there was basically nothing in this presenter's kit. It was so basic. It was just a brand new company. We're only 4 years old now. And they sent the mascara to me, and the girl who sold it to me followed up and said, how do you like it or whatever? And I said, honestly, this is ridiculous. This is junk. I don't like it. It doesn't work. You said it was going to do blah, blah, blah. And it didn't. And so she sent me a YouTube video, and the girl gave a tutorial on how to use the mascara. And I used it and I went, wow, that actually does work. And I was so impressed that I took a selfie, which I never, ever did before. I thought it was narcissistic and just blah, in poor taste, right? And so then I took a selfie and I sent it to her. The selfie is terrible, by the way, but she just said, wow, girl, you would totally rock this business. You should really think about it. And when she said that, you would rock this business, I thought, oh, I am somebody other than this woman who's got two kids, still breastfeeding one of them, through the night, basically. And I'm actually my old self still. And all she had to do was say, you would rock this business. It was, four words, right? And it changed my life. And so I said, oh, I don't know, whatever. And she's like, it's only $100. Just buy the kit. If you don't like it, you don't have to sell anything. There's no risk. There's no ongoing fees. If you don't like it, you don't have to worry about it. And I went, okay, fine. No risk. I did a little research and it didn't seem, super gimmicky or anything like that. And I knew it was a new company and I thought, all right, I'll try it. So I bought the kit. It came over $200 worth of makeup in there. And I thought, if anything else, it's a good value. So I bought the kit. It came to me, told Lucas about it. He was really supportive. And he was like, yeah, well, if you really like it. But I was still very skeptical. And from there on, I just started watching the leaders of the company. And when I say leaders, I mean women just like myself who've got kids at home. And they are, posting tutorials and posting selfies, and they've got their Facebook group and they're just hosting these online parties and basically just helping women feel better about themselves. And I don't know about anybody else, but as a woman, I want to feel better about myself every single day. So that's what really, really drove me to take that leap. And then
can I ask you a question real quick?
Yep.
So you said that you bought, was it mascara first?
Yep, mascara.
This is so weird because I am not a makeup person and I've never interviewed anybody about something like this. So I feel a little bit out of my element. But you said that you weren't totally impressed with the mascara and then you watched a YouTube video and you reapplied it. Was it, and I don't want to run the company through the mud, but what was it that you were dissatisfied at first? And then what changed? Why did watching the YouTube video change it?
So it's a new product. It's a two-step product, whereas traditional mascara is a one-step product. It's one tube, it's one wand, you swipe the gel on your eyelashes and away you go. The Unique mascara is a two-tube product. It's gel and then fibers. And so you put the gel on and then you put the fibers on and then you put another coat of the gel on. So it's a new skill. I mean, you're changing the way that you're doing your makeup. And I've been doing my makeup since I was, 13, I guess. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was all about change management for me, which was my previous career. So I thought, oh, okay, well I can work through these steps. but it was just user error.
So going through that and then seeing the results that you did, that gave you enough confidence to actually go all in and buy the $100 kit then?
Yep. Yep. And it was a fairly easy decision for me because, I'm fortunate enough that I had the $100 in my bank account to spend on that, you know? And I thought, well, I could use some new makeup. Why not?
Okay. So that was, I think that's one of the things that a lot of business owners have issues with. If they're introducing something that's new and they have to do a lot of customer education, that's like a huge uphill battle to be fighting, especially if you're a brand new company. And I was kind of wondering, did they not give the instructions on how to use it properly, or did they, and you just skimmed over it, or...
Yeah, they definitely give you the instructions. Even in that very first tube of mascara that I got, it came with this little pamphlet that said, this is how you put it on. And I did. I went, oh, I watched her put it on the video, and I on this other video, not the one that she sent me. And then I sort of skimmed over the pamphlet, and I went, oh, I know how to do this. This is mascara. I know what I'm doing. And I find that customer education is something that I have to do every single day because it is a changing landscape as far as products, and people are wanting to use, you know, a brow palette, which I'm sure is maybe foreign territory for a lot of people, women included. They go, well, what do I do with this? How do I do this? Which is where my Facebook videos and my live sessions come into play. It's all about customer education.
Nice. Well, we're going to take a break real quick. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're definitely going to dive into customer education. We're going to talk about how you're using the internet to accomplish that and a bunch of other stuff that I really want to dive into with you. CJ Copeland, your website real quick for people that that want to go check out what you have to offer.
Sure. It's lashlavish.com.
Awesome. All right, CJ, we'll be right back on the other side of the break. Listeners, don't go anywhere. We got more. This is such a weird conversation for me, but I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll continue right on the other side of the break.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com. Hey, you. Yeah, you. You like listening to podcasts, don't you? Have you ever thought about starting a podcast of your own? If you're a hardcore podcast fan, you probably have, and you've probably got something great to share with the world. I'm Nathan Frazier, and I've created a free online podcasting course for people just like you. Pre-Launch Secrets gives you the top 5 secrets you need to know in order to launch a successful podcast. You'll learn how to create the core concept of your podcast, how to build a solid audience, and how to consistently generate great content for that audience. These are the secrets the pros use when coming up with ideas for their podcasts. And after this course, you'll have them all at your disposal. The course is free. It's taught by me. Enroll today. Go to podcastblastoff.com/course. That's podcastblastoff.com/course. Podcast Blast Off, the future of podcasting.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and... finally.
Get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant.
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
Free Market Squad in the place to be. Welcome back to this week's exciting, adventurous,
phenomenal, fantastic, spectacular interview with my wonderful guest, CJ Copeland. If you're enjoying it, trust me, it gets better from here. You're going to learn a lot about Facebook and how CJ is using Facebook to just rock out her business. Before we get into that, though, I do want to give a huge shout out and thank you to all the networks that are picking up this propaganda and making my message possible. First of all, Truth Frequency Radio Network, much love and many thanks. UCY.TV, much love and many thanks. And of course, LRN.FM, the Liberty Radio Network. Thank you for picking up my propaganda and putting it out there. I do appreciate it. If you want more like this, you can always check out NathanFraserShow.com. That's enough of my little ranting. Let's jump back into this week's interview.
All right, Free Market Squad, welcome back to Anarchopreneur, the Nathan Fraser Show. I am your host with a hero complex and a huge ego, Nathan Fraser. Today, I've got CJ Copeland from LashLavish.com. Very out of the ordinary conversation for this show. I understand. I'm definitely not the makeup entrepreneur here, but CJ is, and I wanted to have her on to talk about how she got into the business that she's in right now. And we kind of covered that in the first part of the show. And now I kind of want to change the direction and go in a new direction. We're going to pivot a little bit and talk about how CJ uses the internet at large to market this product, to educate her customers. CJ, when we were right before we went into the break, we were talking about how you bought the mascara. It took some education before you were able to use it properly. And you were saying that this is something that you also have to deal with when you're selling it. Is this something that is with a lot of products? Because the company's name is unique. And from looking at the website, from looking at your website, lashlavish.com, I do notice that it's not in line with what I'm used to seeing on the shelves. But again, I'm not the makeup expert here. So is there a lot of, no pun intended, uniqueness to the products?
It's unique in a sense, because we are a nature love science based company. And so we don't use a lot of chemicals, preservatives, there's no parabens, there's nothing nasty in the makeup. And it is department store quality, which is amazing. And we also have a skincare line, which is also amazing. But it's not a huge conglomerate. We're not the Estee Lauder. We're not the L'Oreal. We don't test on animals. None of our suppliers test on animals. So it's unique in that sense. But as far as the products that we have, the product range, you can find something equivalent at your local Sephora or your MAC store or your Ulta Beauty, whatever store you want to go to, even your drugstore, or your chemist, if you're in Australia, they will have, a similar product, probably similarly priced. If you go to the department store, sure, it's going to be more expensive. If you go to the drugstore, it's going to be less expensive. So we're sort of in that mid-range, but that's also because we don't have a whole lot of overhead. And our founders have done a really good job in setting up a great direct sales system where we presenters, sell the product.
So how much of the business model is on you versus what they provide for you? Because looking at your website, it looks very well done. It looks very professional. And I'm just wondering by looking at it, if I was, obviously I'm not going to because I'm not pretty and I don't think there's enough makeup in the world to change that. But if I was an attractive young woman and I was looking into, looking more deeply into unique and doing what you're doing, how much of what you do is based off of what they provide for you versus how much do you have to actually build for yourself?
So, they do so much. It's amazing. They do the website, they do, the inventory. So I don't have to keep any stock on hand if I don't want to. And they develop and come out with new products all the time. They do listen to the presenters. We do have a say in what kind of products we want to see and what's working and what's not working. So what I have to build for myself basically is my customer list. And I do that through social media. I do open my mouth sometimes when I'm out, you know, shopping or whatever, or, you know, at school pickup and things like that. But, you know, 90% of my personal business is done online. And we do all of our events online. And so, you know, it's really kind of amazing to have this company that just hands you over a product and says, run with it, you know, go be awesome. And I think that's so liberating to just be trusted with something like that. Of course, we have, you know, presenter agreement and things like that in place. And then I have what's called an upline. So my sponsor, she's been in the company a year longer than I have. And you know, she comes up with different trainings and she's a real leader. And she inspires me to be a great leader as well, because I have a team of girls, who are under me as well. And, you know, we work on this basis of building leaders. Our mission is to uplift, validate, and empower women. And I think when you have a corporate structure like Unique has, where they develop the products and then they hand them over to us, and then they let us be free with how we sell them, it's very empowering.
Nice. Now, you've mentioned a couple times you've said the word event, and you said that you had to attend an online event, and that's one of the things that you now participate in presenting. Can you kind of give me an idea of how that works? And I guess from the attendee side versus the presenter side, and how it works as part of the business model.
Sure. I'm not sure how many of your listeners have ever been to a Tupperware party per se, but it's sort of that sense where I present the product to a group of people and they have the option to purchase it. And the person who is our hostess, so to speak, gets rewards for however much product that party or that event sells. I try not to use the word party, because I feel like since Unique has come on the scene and done all of this online marketing, especially through social media, people are partied out. They don't want to attend another makeup party or another nail wrap party or another, you know, clean your house with these products party. It's party, 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 party. And it gets a little bit cheesy, I think, after a little while. So I've really tried to revamp the way that I run my events. And so what I do is I find a hostess. I have a list of people that I go through every month. And I'm always expanding my network, which is key to any sort of network marketing, obviously. But I find a hostess. She invites her friends. And then I put on this event for them and they buy the products, and then I follow up with them and they become my customers. And, you know, follow-ups are huge. Without that, I have no customer retention, which means my business is going to fall flat on its face. So,
there's two things that I want to cover on that. First of all, when you say event, is it like a webinar? Is it like a live web video type thing?
Yeah. So in Facebook, which is where I run all my events, you have the option of either creating a group or creating an event. So what I do is I create an event because people hate being added to groups without their say so. So I create an event. It runs for, you know, I put it up for about 10 days. But then the actual time that I'm live in that event or I'm posting in that event is usually about three days. And I ask the hostess to be involved, and she, you know, says hello to everyone and welcomes them with just some posts. And I have selfies, I have video tutorials, I have graphics, I have product information, all kinds of things. Sorry if you can hear that Australian bird right now.
That's okay.
So I post all of this product information and video tutorials, as I mentioned. And then I do a 1 hour live session where I go from wake up to makeup, if you will. I talk about our skincare products. I demonstrate how to use our products from start to finish. So just sort of a basic makeup look. But the beauty of the live session within that event is the guests can ask me questions. I can answer them. I can interact with them. They can really get a feel for, you know, how the products work, what's going to work for them, what maybe they don't want. And they can say, well, I want to see you put on, you know, this palette or that eyeliner or that lipstick color. So I give them choices and I give them power within the event to say what I put on my face. So they get to see what they want to see, and I'm not shoving anything down anyone's throat, which is really nice.
Nice. And I'm totally unfamiliar with Facebook events. I'm going to have to, next time you have one, I'm going to have to get in on that so I can watch it from a marketing point of view. Is it just like a page that shows up on Facebook that only certain people can get to, or, and then it disappears? How does that whole thing work?
Yeah, basically. It exists forever. I don't think you can delete an event, but like you can delete a group, but you create an event. And I do this for like my kids' birthday parties, or I do it for a barbecue. We had an all-American barbecue this past weekend with a bunch of Americans that live here in Canberra. And that way you can say, you know, what day and time the event's going to be. You can have a co-host, and you can make it where it's private and no one can add guests, or you can make it where guests can add guests, and that type of thing, or you can make it public and totally open. I keep mine private because, I want that hostess to feel exclusive, basically.
Right. And then you can do a live Facebook video in the event, to where only people that are part of the event are able to see it then?
Yeah, it pops up in a little notification. If they've RSVP'd yes to the event, then Facebook is amazing. It's such an incredible tool. And I think there's so many facets that a lot of people, you know, if they haven't explored, they don't know that they're there. But if they've RSVP'd yes to the event, then my face in my little live video pops up in the corner of the screen of the device that they're on, which is just incredible because it's like, oh, hey, I'm just giving them a little wave. It's not a notification where they have to go into their notifications and click on it and then go through. It's right there. So all they have to do is touch that little box with my face in it, and away we go. And they're already engaged. It's incredible.
That's amazing. I was not even aware. I'm learning stuff. Awesome. Thank you so much. The other thing that I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned customer retention, and this is something that a lot of businesses fail at, because in my experience, it's a lot easier to sell to somebody who's already bought from you, and it's a lot less expensive to get somebody to buy from you a second time than it is to get them to buy from you the first time. And you mentioned that you had to do follow-up. What does your follow-up system entail? Is it done through email marketing, or is it done through Facebook? How do you go about doing that?
So it's twofold. When you purchase from Unique, from my website, it sends you a little email and it says, here's your order confirmation. Thank you for your purchase. That is a corporate bot email that's sent out to every person that makes a purchase. They also get a tracking email with their postage information on that. For me, I have a system that my leaders have come up with, and I've just followed on because obviously it works, is the 222 system. And so basically I follow up with them 2 days after they've made a purchase and say thank you. I actually usually say thank you straight away because I feel it's really important. I've made purchases from direct sales companies or people online, and I haven't gotten a thank you, and I still feel a little bitter about that. But so I send them a thank you. And then 2 weeks later, I send them another message and I just say, hey, Susie, how are you? I am hoping that your products have arrived. I would love to get some feedback and see how you're going with everything. Here's a video tutorial on how to apply the mascara. And then they usually write me back and say, oh, thanks, you know, I'm having a problem with this, or I absolutely love it. Thank you so much. Or sometimes you just don't hear anything, which is, you know, totally fine and normal. And then about 2 months later, I follow up with them again and just say, hey, Susie, how are you going? It's been a couple of months now. I wanted to make sure that you didn't need to refill any of your product. And, you know, if they need more foundation or they need new mascara or they want to try a new lip color or whatever, then they usually will let me know. But what I also do is I add them to my VIP group, which I put you in so you could kind of see how all of that works. And in my VIP group, I share product information. I share funny little tidbits and selfies. And I go live twice a week. I call it Wind Down Wednesday. And what I do is I just go live and I highlight different products, or I talk about anything that my customers have said, I'm really struggling with, you know, contouring or, you know, whatever it is that week. And I highlight those products and those methods. And we just have, you know, an hour long chat and it's a lot of fun. And I find that, the same people tend to engage in that, but I'm constantly adding to that customer group because that's exactly what it is.
Nice. Now let's talk about, I really want to talk about Facebook videos with you, because this is where I see you really, really dominating. You're one of the only people I follow. A lot of people, even if I'm not going to buy their products, just because I like to watch the way that they market. And you totally take advantage of Facebook videos in a way that I don't see very many people doing. And it's sad, because even myself, I'm guilty of this, of not using Facebook to its full potential, especially the videos. What are your experiences with the videos? What do you find that works and doesn't work with Facebook video?
So I do the standard video where I record a video with my devices and my lighting kit and everything. And then I post that usually to YouTube as well. And then I put that in my Facebook group, or I put it on my main Facebook page, and that's fine and all. But videos are kind of dying, because live is the new kid in town. So what I do is I go Facebook Live, and I do it in my group, and I do it on my personal page. And that way, like I said, it pops up in the corner of people's screens, my little face saying, "Hey, how are you?" And so I have to engage them right off the bat, whether that's, you know, making silly faces, or I've got my hair in rollers, or my kids are in the video. You know, there's so many different ways to engage your audience, but I kind of have an edge, if you will, because my university degree is from Colorado State, and it's in broadcast journalism. So I learned how to get people on the hook straight away. And it's so important, because if you don't get their attention within the first 10 seconds, they're gone. They're not watching. They don't care what you have to say. They're scrolling through their Facebook feed looking for a funny cat video.
So one of the things that I do when I start off my Facebook Live videos is I'll make an indication to my ears, and then I'll make an indication to the bottom of the screen to let people know that they need to click on the volume to actually hear what I'm saying. And I found that that definitely increases engagement. What kind of things do you find that help get? Because you, like you said, people will just scroll right through if you don't grab their attention right away. What are the things that you find best for getting people engaged with your videos, especially in that vital first 5 to 10 seconds?
Oh my gosh! I think I automatically have a smile on my face before. I keep my face pretty close to the screen, so it's my whole face. Or if my kids are in the video, then we're kind of dancing around or doing something silly. Or you can go through a myriad of filters on the live app, and it will put funny faces on. Like, you can look like the Hulk if you wanted to, and people will stop and be like, what are they doing? But what I also do is I try to put a catchy title at the top, so people go, oh, you know, where if I could just write mascara tutorial, people are going to go, no, thanks.
Right.
I'm not going to watch that. So I think there's, you know, a lot of different methods you could go to. Like you said, you give physical signals, you know, for your viewers to tune in, which is an interesting thing. I hadn't even thought about that.
Nice. Well, then I gave you a little bit of value back.
You did.
Sweet. What about, and this is one of the things that I noticed when I was on your website, is there's no blog. So there's no, I guess, content for people to consume. So what are your thoughts on creating content for people? And is that kind of, is your Facebook Live videos, is that kind of like a replacement for that? Or what are your thoughts on the whole idea of content marketing in your niche?
Yeah, absolutely. I create content every day, all day. And I create that content on my personal wall, which drives business to my VIP group. I create separate content for my VIP group. I create separate content for my personal Instagram. I create separate content for my business Instagram. And then my business Instagram feeds into my Facebook business page. So I've got, you know, a lot of feelers out there. I've got a lot of network going on, because people need to see things, you know, 5 to 7 times before it actually sinks in, or before it actually registers for them. So if I'm posting, you know, in 3 different areas and they're seeing something different, sort of the same, but still different, it's going to pique their attention. And so, yeah, I have to drive content every day, all day. And we have some methods around that in my leadership groups and my personal team as to what we post. I have a positivity pledge. So if you want to be in my downline, your page basically needs to be free of negativity, because people don't want to see it. If you had a choice of a storefront that you wanted to go to, are you going to go to one that's dark and scary, or are you going to go to one that's well lit and has flowers out the front? I mean, it's a no-brainer, especially because we sell to women, and women want to feel you know, nice. they don't want to not know what they're getting themselves into. So, you know, I coach positivity in that sense as well. And so it's creating positive content, which is definitely challenging at times, especially if your kid's, you know, been up all night with an ear infection or, you know, you're just dog tired. It can be a challenge, but that again is running a business. I mean, if you want to be successful, you've got to do things that maybe you don't want to do all the time.
That's true. One of the things that I have trouble with is I obviously do email marketing, so I'm typically writing 1 to 2 emails every day. I run 2 different blog websites, one for marketing and one for podcasting. I have clients that I work with. I have customers that I'm constantly trying to service. And then on top of all of that, I have to be on social as well. So I pretty much exclusively stick to Facebook because I just can't get into Instagram and Snapchat and YouTube. And I just don't have the time to create all of that content and all those different. And then the other thing is, how do I make sure that my content on Facebook isn't just a copy and paste of what I post on Twitter? So how do you go about picking and choosing what's going to go where?
It's really funny. It very much depends on what is going on in my day. So my business Instagram is all about professional type selfies. I don't market myself as a professional makeup artist. I'm not one of those girls that's literally going to paint my face a different color and look like a completely different person, because that's not my demographic. That's not who I'm selling to. I'm selling to, you know, women of all ages, but women who have busy lifestyles or they've got kids at home and they, you know, they just want to know how to do normal makeup. Sure, it's fun to watch the Jaclyn Hills of Instagram put on, you know, these crazy makeup looks, but ain't nobody got time for that in my world. So, you know, so I do keep the business Instagram pretty professional looking. And then I share that onto the business page, because then I can do sponsored posts with the business page on Facebook. And I do get a lot of new followers through that, which is great. And then the VIP group, I keep that really personal for the women that I keep in that group, because, you know, they trust me and people want to do business with people they like and they trust. So I try to make sure that they get, you know, they get some information. They come to Facebook to be entertained, informed, and connected with. And so that's what I try to do in that group every day. And then obviously my personal page, I try to drive them to my VIP page as well and show them that I am a real person, that, you know, I'm not just out to make a quick sale. It's a lifestyle for me.
Nice. One thing that I did have a question for you, and I'm going to take it back a little bit. You were talking about the 222 model for following up with people. Do you have any issues with people not? 2 months is kind of a long way to go. I usually try to send out at least 3 or 4 emails every week to try and keep my list warm. Do you have any problem with customer fall off at that two month range? Or do you feel like for what you sell, if you tried to email them more frequently, they might just get annoyed with you? Or what's the concept behind the 2 months?
Yeah, well, I don't really need to email them more than that, because they're in my Facebook group. They're in my customer group. So I will tag people in posts. I'll tag their friends in posts. I'll keep them engaged through the VIP group. So they're always seeing that. So the VIP group pops up on their normal feed as well. So if I'm sending them messages and VIP group stuff, I think they would definitely get overwhelmed.
Okay. I can understand that. One of the last things that I wanted to ask you, and this is going back to the website, and you were talking about how they do a lot of Unique does a lot of stuff for you guys. If somebody is interested in getting into what you're doing, how do they go about taking advantage of all the stuff that Unique does? And I would obviously say, just a personal recommendation, if they're going to do it, definitely get in touch with you. But how do they find out more about how to start kind of getting into the world that you're into?
Absolutely. So basically what you do is you go to lashlavish.com. You click on the join tab, which is right at the top of the screen. And that just takes you through what it means to be a presenter, what you get in the presenter's kit and all of the benefits that come along with that. And then they do highlight that there is, you know, no ongoing fees. There's no auto ships. There's no requirement to sell if you don't want to sell. I have plenty of people on my team who are what we call kitnappers. So they've taken the presenter's kit and run away with it because it is a great value. And then they can get an ongoing discount on their regular makeup. So women buy makeup all the time. And if you wear makeup on a regular basis, you're going to run out eventually. So you're going to need more, right?
I'm going to take your word for it.
Okay.
So if there was one product that you're most excited about, and for somebody who maybe wasn't looking to join and start selling for Unique, but there was one introductory product or one thing that you could say that was something that you've got the most excitement about right now, what would that be?
I can honestly, wholeheartedly say mascara changed my life.
Nice.
In more ways than one.
And they can find that on your website as well?
Yep, absolutely. It's our number one seller.
Awesome. Well, CJ, thank you so much for coming on. Your website again for the listeners?
LashLavish.com.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. We need to keep in better contact than just through podcast interviews.
Agreed. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, CJ Copeland, LashLavish.com. If you want to get some makeup for yourself or for the lady in your life, definitely check it out. If you want to look into starting your own business and having a great company that's there to help back you up, provide the product, provide the marketing for you, and all you have to do is actually go out and get the customers, a great opportunity there as well. CJ, thanks again for joining us. Free Market Squad, until next time, faith in each other, not in authority. Be your own boss, BYO boss. I'm out of here. Deuces.
Free minds, free markets, free people.
You're a busy podcaster, not a web designer, but you know, without a professional website to send your guests and listeners to, your podcast will not get the attention it deserves. Having a great website is crucial to the success of your podcast, but it can also be a major headache, not to mention a drain on your wallet. You need a service that's easy to use, gives you a great website, and hosts your podcast files all in one place. You need BlastPod from Podcast Blastoff. Far from just another WordPress platform, BlastPod was built from the ground up by podcasters for podcasters. BlastPod is your all-in-one podcasting solution that gives you the ability to podcast like the pros. Sign up now and get access to your BlastPod website today. Putting the power of podcasting into the hands of the people. PodcastBlastoff.com.